Okay, so let's review this now. Okay, I want to get like a basic svara for this first part. So again, the Gemara says, looking at this wonderful review sheet, if the Kohen has a mind when performing shechita to pour the leftovers, which is blood, right, after the zman, it's considered an effective pigel. Now, if we consider the leftovers to be blood, the Gemara says pigel wouldn't work because blood is a matir. Only something that itself is subject to a matir, like the meat itself, is subject to pigel. Okay, blood allows for the meat to be eaten. Therefore, blood cannot be subject to pigel. Okay, what's the havi maskana? Why can't blood be subject? What does it mean? What do I care if it's a matir? Who cares if it's a matir? Why does it matter if blood is a matir? What I should say is, I don't want to give it the havmina, but saying like, what is it about? What does it mean to say because this thing's a matir, but not subject to being matir? That's why pigel would attach to it or not. What's that havi maskana? So if you look at each, remember, we're not talking about actions, we're talking about objects. Keep that in mind, because you'll see why this is going to become a serious problem next week. What do you call it? But for now, okay, when it comes to objects, okay, so if you look at each object as a chelik of the overall process of avoda, so why should dam be excluded? Who cares what its function is? But I think what you guys are saying is very good. Because, you see, let's understand what happens, okay? What happens if something is... Let's understand what it means when you say that dam is matir something. If dam is matir something, that means what's its status prior to it being matired? Usser, right? Right? Matir means this object right now is usser, and what's it doing? It's able to create a change in status, which means the statuses of usser and mutter, so to speak, exist in the identity of the object itself. And therefore, what does pigel then do? Pigel tinkers with that reality. Right, but dam. This is the only thing I would just tweak what you're saying. Dam lacks the status of being usser or mutter. You understand? In other words, it's excluded from that concept because right, exactly. So you can never apply the idea of isser or heter to dam. It lacks that ability. That's what the Gemara is saying. No, so the Havin is that's, in order to put it what you guys would say, it's object functional, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's a chelik of the korban, but its function is to be matir. But that's not enough. In other words, I'm explaining what it is about the fact that its function as a matir would exclude it from pigel being applying to it. You understand? It's a very subtle point, but it's a really nice concept, I think. So now the Gemara now says this is a little trickier, right? The Gemara says, don't look at the shirayim as dam, right? Look at the shirayim as basar, okay? Now, when it says look at the shirayim like it's basar, it doesn't mean the blood is physically meat. It means, conceptually, look at the blood as if it is a chelek of the korban. And now comes the kal v'chomer. If you're telling me that Rav Yossi is the author of this brisa, if the kohen has machshava on the shirayim, right, during shechita, it affects the korban itself, and this whole thing is pigel, right? Right, and that's Rav Yossi, right? Then kal v'chomer, if the kohen had machshava on this part of the korban, right, it's going to affect this part because they're all connected to each other. Which means that can't be what it called. That means Rav Yossi can't be the author of this brisa. Okay? Now this sounds a lot like what? I told you last week. That sounds a lot like the Toma case, doesn't it? No?
Yeah.
Sounds that way. Okay. So you can't give the Toma svara. So what you're going to, I mean,
why,
without giving...
Why is it the Toma case?
Oh, because remember by the Toma case, also the Toma was separate.
Yes.
It affected the thing that...
Only when it touched the blood.
Right. Without giving anything away, just to help you guys out, okay, what you should be focusing on is shirayim. Okay, leftovers. That's the key. Leftovers. That's what the Gemara is struggling with here. Yes. Okay. So there's two ways you can go here. There's two concepts the Gemara is toying with. Okay. Okay. Meaning what I want to show in the Havamina is the Havamina is going to say that Rav Yossi would look at a what do you call it? Can say that this is the key. All right. That I can keep pigel separate in that case, right? In the second case, meaning if I did pigel on Yarech Yamin, it would not affect Smol, but somehow maintain in that case that if I was mefagel the Shirayim, it would affect the Korban. Because remember, the Gemara learns it as a Havamina. Because the Gemara learns it as a Havamina. Okay? In other words, remember, what you really have to answer here is, according to Rav Yossi, or according to the Gemara wants to show that maybe you'll say that in case number two, which is Braisa one, that Rav Yossi would maintain, right, that if I do Pigol and Yarech Yomin, it does not affect Shmuel, and would also maintain in that Braisa that what I do on the Shirayim does affect the Korban. How is that possible? The answer is like this. Oh, yeah. So you can say like this, okay? I think Zev is starting to go down that road, but what are Shirayim? When I say the word leftovers, right, the identity of leftovers can only come out about through what? Okay, good. So therefore, the identity of the very thing called Shirayim is dependent on what? On the Korban. Its identity is dependent on it. If that's true, that means, to put it descriptively, the pigle, so to speak, has to travel through the Korban, right, to attach itself to the Shirayim. You understand? Or if you say the Shirayim are leftovers, that means their identity, like you were saying, their identity is entangled. I would even go further and say dependent on the Korban.
But isn't it the opposite? That the
Shirayim... Never have a pigle on the Shirayim if it doesn't affect the Korban. That'd be an impossibility because the very identity of the Shirayim is dependent on the Korban. Okay? But you wouldn't say that by this case. You wouldn't say it by the second case. You understand? In other words, it's because they're leftovers, the identity of the leftovers itself to be leftovers, it must be leftover of something. So then that's why you could say the relationship is tighter, so to speak, in the first one than in the second brisa. That's the Havamina. Let me emphasize, I'm not here to prove that there's no relationship between the two. I'm just trying to demonstrate why that relationship is a stronger, so to speak, relationship than that one. What makes the first relationship stronger is you could never speak of a leftover if you didn't have a korban that was brought and it was done. Exactly, right. Right, exactly, exactly.
But
that this is the Havamina.
No, the Havamina, like the Dom thing.
Dom's separate. That's if you look at the Shirayim as Dom. Now we're looking at the Shirayim as a Chelek, as Basar.
Right, did we explain it why you look at it as Dom versus Basar?
No, we don't have to. That's not our job.
No,
the Gemara doesn't. I only took up the Dom issue because it was an interesting thing to take up. The Gemara doesn't even care about that. Right. Now, what's the Maskana saying, though? Maskana saying, but there's a difference insofar as the process of a vote is concerned when it comes to Shirayim. What makes Shirayim different than the rest of Avoda? It does have to be done, but...
Well, no, I mean, if you don't have Shirayim, then you don't... It's not...
So you gotta make it work so that...
It's a conditional step.
What do you mean?
That there isn't... It's not mocking for there to be left
over. Say is that, what is Shirayim? Shirayim are not part of Avoda. See, in other words, it's an interesting thing. What happens when I have to bring my korban, right? I do all the four steps of avoda, right? Now my avoda is over. Now there's a new obligation to take my leftovers and pour them down the yisod. You understand? There's a Torah, God has to come along and create a separate obligation that's excluded from avoda that tells me I have to go ahead and dump my shirayim, which means the shirayim are separate from the basar, which means then that if I go ahead and have somehow I have das on the shirayim and it affects the korban, even though from the avoda standpoint it's completely separate, then of course over here, if I do pigol and yarech yomin, it's going to affect yarech shmuel. That's the move in the Gemara. One more time. In other words, if you're going to tell me that the shirayim are really excluded from the process of avoda, there's a separate chiyuv that comes in and tells me that I got to pour the shirayim, and yet somehow, I'm not going to explain how, but somehow, when I'm the fagel, the shirayim, it affects the main korban itself, right? Then of course I'm going to have to say, in the case where it's one thing, where it's physically one thing, and it's all part of the avoda, that if I do it on yamin, it's going to affect shmuel. Well, you'd have to say that, yeah. So is it El Amar of Yochanan?
El Amar of Yochanan.
Right. So 1 second, just to get yourself started. So now the Gemara is going to acknowledge, okay. The Gemara is going to acknowledge at this point that Rav Yossi agrees in Brisa number one, if I do Pigol and Yarech Yomin, it'll affect Shmuel. The Gemara concedes that Rav Yossi would agree with that. Okay? He concedes that to be the case. Okay? And there... What? El Amar Rav Yochanan? Yudal Amar Beis. Yeah. Rav Yossi would agree, right, that if I did Pigol on Yarech Yomin, it would affect Yarech Shmuel. I cannot separate my Pigols. Even though Rav Yossi in the Mishnah doesn't say that. You'll see in a second. The Gemara Well, the Gemara is going to say that Rav Huna's courageous attempt at trying to get Braisa number one to line up with Rav Yossi failed. And ultimately, Rav Yossi does not line up like Rav Yossi, the Mishnah, will not work in Braisa number one. And if I have Pigel on Yerach Yomin, it'll affect small. But in the Mishnah, he said if I have Pigel on one Chala, it would not affect the other.
Wait,
right? So the Gemara says, now it's this again classic Gemara fashion. We'll finally get the reason for Rav Yossi, right? We never defined Rav Yossi. Remember, I told you in the beginning, it's so tempting to look at the machlokas as the old, you know, discrete units versus units with composite, blah, 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 all that stuff you guys like saying. No. Much worse. The Gemara says, David.
Right.
I'm a Rav Yochan, not to Aman the Rav Yossi.
So the Gemara says, well, what do you want Rav Yossi to do? The problem is that the Torah itself, this is such a critical point, the Torah itself treats the Shtei Chalos, okay, as both one guf and as two gufos. Okay, so, the Gemara is suggesting at this point that when you look at those two loaves, right, those two loaves of bread, they're on the one hand, they're one, okay, and the other hand, they're two. Now, don't even think for a second to try and tell me that you can have an object that can have contradictory identities coexist. Don't you dare give me a svar to somehow say, what do you mean? It could be both Govechot and Shnei Gufos at the same time. No, it cannot. You cannot tell me there's an object like that. No. You can't have a composite of contradictory components. It's impossible. It can't be both one and two. Besides the fact that it sounds like the Trinity. It just cannot be. That cannot be. You can't have, one and three can't be the same. One and two can't be the same. What? No, there's, yeah. No. Right. You cannot tell me, don't try and tell me that when it says, you'll see how he explains in a second, but I don't want you to even think for a second to give me a svar that somehow says that the very chalos themselves, yes, are both one and two. They cannot be both gufechad and be shnei gufos. That's impossible. Don't do it, Granik. Now, how do you know that? On the one hand, it's gufechad. Why? Okay. So you don't have the pasuk in front of you, right? But the Torah says, right? The Torah says, Shtayim, right? Shtayim Shnei Esronim, right? Soles Tihiyena. For those people who like Dikduk, right? Tihiyena implies what? Well, Tihiyena means it's doing what to the two chalos? Uniting them. So on the one hand, the Torah says Tihiyena, that means they're Guf Echad, and they're Ma'akve. They're Ma'akve of each other. They're one Guf. Right? And also, Shnei Gufin, Damar Rachmana. How do you know Shnei Gufin? Because also says Shtayim, right? But what's the? How do we know they are two gufos? Because it says Shtayim. How do we know that? Because Halachu Davida. Now, what does that mean? If they were really not forget Keves. If the Chalos are really one guf, how would I make them? Meaning, well, not cook. I'd bake them. Meaning, what would I do? I would take a large batch of dough. I bake them in the oven and then split them, right? But I don't do that. What do? I bake them separately. So on the one hand, they're ma'akev each other. They are gufechad. On the other hand, again, just be clear, since I make them separately, I can look at them as shnei gufos. And that's why as a result, right, our vinu, if I mix the two gufos together with my machshava, right, what do? Da kasuv asan gufechad. Palginu, right? So I'm able to go ahead and create pigle because they are two discrete things. I can even start them together. But since they're gufecha, what else can I do? Split them up. No. No, that's always one guf.
What can you do in reverse?
You can't, because chalos are two gufos. You can't split something that's always one. Chalos are two, right? See? One, two, right? So on the one hand,
I see one and two over there.
No, you don't. You don't see that. You know, I'll at least help you out here. Okay, the Torah presents this problem. Okay, it's a Torah's fault. It presents this problem of it is. It's presenting a problem of wanting us to see this thing as both, but we know they can't. Now, just give me a second. I'm not going to answer that. We know. Let's say descriptively, we know that you can't have a mutual dual positive identity of ma'akev and ma'akev, or guf echad and shnei gufim exists in the chalos. That's impossible. Okay, now you're stuck. Either you're going to have to say somehow they're neither, which is odd because the Gemara doesn't say that, or you could say we must understand the result of this problem. There's what? How do we handle such a problem of both these things existing? How do we handle such a thing? How do we translate that? No, almost there, yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Okay, but... No. Let me ask you this. In other words, let's combine them together for a second, okay? Meaning, we know that it has properties of being guf echad, and it has properties of being shnei gufim. Because we know that's true. But we can't say that this object has, I'm going to say this carefully, has a full expression of guf echad and shnei gufim in it. Because if that were true, how could that be? They can't coexist, right? Okay, but let's say you go down that road, okay? Now, if you go down that road, what you could say is like this. What you could say is, you may not like this, but what you could say is that, maybe you'll say that the fact that it has both guf echad and shnei gufim, it means that we'll call that there is some relationship between these two chalos, right? But we'll call it a defective relationship, okay? The relationship is a defective one, not a negative connotation, okay? There is a relationship between the two, but because it's guf echad and shnei gufim, that means there's a defect in the relationship. So now what's Pigle able to do? Bingo. Pigle is the mechanism. I can, because it's a defective relationship, my das can either, right, put nudge it towards being guf echad or nudge it towards being shnei gufim. Exactly. In other words, rather than say that's to me the way out of the problem. In other words, don't say there's two equal expressions of guf echad, shnei gufim. It means the fact that it's both means that there's some relationship between the two, but there's something missing. Because it's both, there's something missing here. My machshava can correct that problem. It can push it. It can push it either towards really being two gufos, or it could push it towards being really guf echad. That's how you get out of it. You need a little background, okay? Let's just take the Toda case, okay? When you bring a Toda, okay, a Korban for a thanks, okay? Okay. Now, what else, how many lechems do you bring with your Toda? 40. Okay. Arbaim lachmi Toda. There are 40 chalos that are brought with their Toda. Okay. Now, follow this here, okay? Follow this. 10, okay, 10 are from chametz, meaning I allow the dough to rise. The other 30, right, must be from unfermented dough. Okay? So, yeah, matzah. Okay? So, no. So, 10 are bread, meaning fermented. 30 are matzah. Of those 30, okay, I can bring, there are 10 chalos, 10 rikikin, and 10 revuka. So, let's just make it simple. Okay, there's 10, let's say, make it for you, so you guys, shapes, okay? Right? So, actually, shape's not a good word, but yeah, if it's shapes, okay? So I have 10 are chametz, 30 matzah, and of the 30 matzah, there's one is type A, one, 10 are type A, 10 are type B, and 10 type C. Which means that now I have four different minim of lachmei toda, right? 10 are going to be chametz, we'll make it simple. 10 are A, 10 are B, 10 are C, and 10 are D. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Who said that? Hold on. The Gemara wants to know, let's say I did pigle, okay, on one of the minim. So let's say I did pigle on matzah A.
One of right? Ten or one of the ten?
No. That's a good question. But let's say I did it on 10. Meaning I did it on matzah subsection A. Okay? Let's say that's what I did. So the question, the Gemara says, mahu, meaning, do I say that the pagel I did on matzah A affects the other 30? Or do I say no, since it's a different min, right? It only affects that which I did pagel on. Okay? Well, wait. So the Gemara says, tanalei, which basically means, pshita, of course, rav tachalifta mimarava, I'll get back to Minchas Ma'afeh next time. But the Gemara says, no, of course, right? Of course. What do you mean, of course? That if I did pigle on matzah subsection A, it's not going to affect any other min, right? Okay. There's such an absurdity in the Gemara's line of reasoning here. Yeah. Think about this. This makes no sense. By the Shtei Chalos, right? By the Shtei Chalos, what do we say? Are they? They are the same thing, right? I have Chala A and I have Chala A. There's no different minim, right? And yet, what do I say there? I can be mitzaref them. I could do pickle and one and affects the other, right? Well, then of course, or let's say not. Let's say I say one doesn't affect the other. When it comes to the min, I have two different things. So why would you ever assume what applies by the case of chalos would ever affect what applies by the case over here, right? Well, again, by the min, by if you're telling me that, let's play out one case. Let's say I told you that if I'm a fagel one chala, right, it does not affect the other chala. Then kal v'chomer, when it comes to the min case, right? So what do you mean mahu? What's the suffix here?